Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. The offseason is definitely here because most of my Twitter feed is arguments about whether people prefer hot weather or cold weather. You know Packers fans are in the thick of it when they're arguing about the weather. Good times. Good times. Hope you're all doing well. Not a ton of news percolating around the green and gold at the moment, but there are some developments, specifically one that actually just came to light right before I went live with the Packers adding to the list when it comes to defensive line interviews, defensive line coach interviews. Clearly, the Packers leaving no stone unturned. Casey Rogers with the Buccaneers was, I believe, interviewing today. The Packers have interviewed Eric Washington, the Bears defensive coordinator from this past season. And we know about the Aaron Whitecotton interview, the defensive line coach for the Jets. So clearly LaFleur casting a wider net, as we suspected would be the case. I suspect there'll probably be a name or two still in play as far as coming to light. And that's the thing. We don't really know in real time usually. But I think we'll probably see a name or two maybe the remainder of this week before LaFleur pulls the trigger on a hire, though, you know, I say that and watch, it'll happen while I'm live. That is the way. Other tidbits of news, Edrin Cooper and Evan Williams were named to the PFWA's all rookie team today, which is pretty damn impressive considering both of them missed some pretty serious stretches of time throughout their rookie seasons, but it's good to see their very promising play right out of the gate. Noticed, rewarded, acknowledged, very, very good stuff from your Packers rookies and the Packers rookie class, which I was told was terrible. So many folks telling me that Brian Gutekunst can't draft. It's interesting, though, how these rookie classes just continue to contribute each and every year, these past 3 years in particular. But obviously, lots to go through this offseason as far as roster makeup, the draft itself, free agency before we get there, etc. Going to be following all of it here at the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Thank you all for subscribing, for liking the videos. The channel continues to grow. We really had an insane growth bump at the end of the season. Tracing it back is no question. The Donald Driver stream did a lot of the heavy lifting there, and we really appreciate all of you that came on board during the end of the season. Thank you so much. We're going to be pumping out content each and every day throughout the offseason. We do not stop. We do not sleep. It is always Packers all the time. Thank you for being with us, and we'll be here throughout the offseason. I'll be down in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. I'll be at the Combine. We'll be going to the draft in April in Green Bay. So keep it here, Cheesehead TV, where we can talk about things like the Packers offense and their approach this season, which was obviously my dream because they ran the hell out of the football. But it was interesting to see at the end of the season, the breakdown as far as how much Matt LaFleur leaned into the running game on first down. I know I am the stalwart run the damn ball guy. I have been yelling it for like 5 years straight now. And LaFleur finally did really lean into it. Clearly having Josh Jacobs helped in that regard. The work they were able to do, particularly out of the gun, some of the spinner stuff that they really kind of worked up because of the injury to Jordan Love and Malik Willis playing. But that became a pretty damn effective part of their offense. And LaFleur really leaned into it on first down this season. Now, I would love to get him on some truth serum and see how much of that was because he did have a quarterback coming back from a pretty significant injury there in week one. And then because of the way they were somewhat productive, obviously, with Josh Jacobs on first down, they stuck with that plan. Even though, as Bill Walsh told us, all those decades ago, the best down to throw the football on is first down. And it didn't seem like the Packers ever really went that route. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and say, you got to throw it on every first down. Of course, that's not the idea. But I do think when LaFleur does his deep dive, and he talked about that at his end of season press conference regarding doing a bit of an autopsy on the offense this season, I think he'll probably come to the conclusion that, yeah, I probably did lean into the running game, especially on first down, a bit too much, especially when you just look at the pure numbers comparative to any other team in the league. The Packers lapped like half the squads and certainly were far out ahead running the ball on first down comparative to much of the NFL, if not most of the NFL. You know, the old adage, and I put it in the title of this video, you throw to score and you run to win. It is excellent to have an effective running game. It is certainly an asset. But the points do come through the passing game. And I know I'm not saying anything LaFleur doesn't know. He's talked about it so many times, especially when it comes to explosives. You know, most drives that feature explosive plays end in points, whether it's a kick or a touchdown. And it did feel at times that Matt and company were maybe hunting for explosives rather than just getting their quarterback in a rhythm and featuring a short, controlled passing game to aid Jordan Love in some of the, you know, inconsistencies that we certainly saw throughout the season, but certainly down the stretch, though the final three games of the year. And that, again, I do think, I'm not saying anything LaFleur doesn't know. That's my suspicion, though, that when he gets into his deep dive this offseason, looking at his offense and how they put it together and how they kind of utilized it from week to week, that is going to be a pretty clear component, that the running game certainly should aid your quarterback instead of be the feature of your offense. That is where I think they'll be headed next year. Long way to go before we get there. But that's my hunch sitting here in somewhat later July. Or sorry, January. Certainly doesn't feel like July out there. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. And no, we're not going to talk about my lineup from last night because holy cow, that was a disaster. But there are plenty of other sports for you guys to dive into. You know me, I am not a big, really a sports kind of speculator when it comes to anything outside of football. But man, they have everything on offer for you. So if you're into it, get into it. Use the link in the description of this video and use code CHTV. Do it, folks. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Brody's starting us off with a super chat. Darius Slayton, could he be a realistic wide receiver target? That's an interesting name. I would tend to think not, especially when considering Brian Gutekunst's words during his final press conference of the season and his approach to free agency and what they might be looking for. Specifically, he talked about not wanting guys towards the tail end of their career. Now, I'm not saying he's ready to fall off a cliff or retire tomorrow, but you know, he is, well, he's got to be coming up on late 20s, 28, 29, somewhere around there. I can't imagine that Goody's going to outlay any kind of cap space and or cash for a receiver that they can just generate on their own. I mean, drafted a bunch of guys, they're still developing them. I don't think that's the kind of swing he would make in free agency. That's just my guess sitting here right now. Hey, Joe, what's up, man? Do you now have an official Draft Industrial Complex membership card? I believe I do. I think it's on the way. I think it's in the mail. Thanks to everybody who checked out the first episode of the Draft Industrial Complex here on the YouTube channel or on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you check it out. Tyler and I are going to be talking about the draft each and every week, all the way through April. So really looking forward to it. Having a lot of fun already. Hope you guys will jump on board. Joey, how you doing, man? Do you think the NFL has told the Packers that they can't trade their first round pick this year since they're holding the draft? No, Joey, they absolutely 1,000,000,000% have not, would not, will never. And I know if they tried to, Brian Gutekunst most pointedly would probably tell them to kick rocks. They will maneuver however they feel is best as far as building their roster, building their program, bringing guys in or finding assets to do so. If that does include trading out of the first round, there's no way they shoot it down just because the draft is in Green Bay. And we actually talked to Brian a bit about that kind of thing in our conversation with him last year, right here on the YouTube channel, when, you know, Corey asked him about drafting kickers and why the hell he does it. It's a fun time. I highly recommend you check that out. But also, you know, about the draft being in Green Bay and his involvement or lack thereof. And, you know, he made it pretty clear everything that's happening is happening in another part of the building and football is going to be doing football stuff and never the twain shall meet. And I know it's easy to think that, but that will not play a part in how the draft is conducted by the Green Bay Packers personnel group. Joe's home theater, how you doing, man? If the Packers move on from Myers, does the replacement come in-house, draft, or free agency? Draft is the Packers' way, but I believe D will be the focus. Go Pack, go. Could be any of it, man. I do think there's a decent chance the replacement is in-house already. I know people, for whatever reason, are down on Jacob Monk simply because he didn't dress for a lot of the season, but I think he's going to have an opportunity to compete. I think Sean Ryan will have an opportunity there if they, this is all if they don't bring back Myers, which I don't think is a given. You know, there's always that talk of moving Zach Tom into center, and I do think that's kind of lost steam, and I would be very surprised if they did that. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they feel the need to make a move to replace at that position. I think they'll feel somewhat decent about the options that they have in-house. Elgton Jenkins is another one who has played center in the past for them, though he feels pretty entrenched now at left guard. But I think they'll look at all those avenues. I don't doubt for a moment they will look at the draft, especially on day three. As we know, they have found plenty of really good offensive linemen later on in the draft. Hell, Corey Linsley was a day three pick. Wasn't slated to become the starter right away, but had to start week one in Seattle because of injuries, you know? So there's no doubt that they will explore every avenue. I will say, of the three that you mentioned here, I'd be very surprised if they went the free agent route, but I'm not going to completely rule it out. That just has not been their MO. Devin, how are you doing, man? Hey, Nags, with the defensive line slash edge need, do you see them trading slash signing a big name or load up in the draft and sign decent vets? I probably lean towards the latter. If, like, in you say vets plural, it could be even just one vet. I don't know. It really depends on who's available. And we talk about this all the time here at the start of an offseason where we're still not even done with the actual NFL season, still championship weekend to go and the Super Bowl, etc. But once teams start re-signing guys and placing tags, we'll have a clearer picture of who might actually be available. With that said, I suspect, and this is just guesswork, but looking in from the outside in, when you have both Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst speaking the way they did on their final press conferences of the year, and the fact that they are now actively looking for a defensive line coach, but looking at their quotes and listening to them, it sure feels like they think they've got enough talent on hand to do the job. They just have to get a better staff in hand to unlock it. That doesn't mean that they're going to ignore it. I suspect they do add bodies, and maybe that's through free agency, maybe that's through the draft, but I think they feel, and you know, I know your mileage may vary, but they feel that they've got the talent necessary to run the scheme that they want to run. They just need to do a better job of coaching it up. So I don't know if there's going to be some big monster swing, some huge move. I know lots of people are expecting a play for Max Crosby, etc. I don't know if that's in play, but I do think they'll look to augment the room, whether that is through the draft or free agency. Big Al, what's going on, man? Hi, Nags. Do you have a player who's on the hot seat and Packers player who's going to break out next year? Oh, that's a good question, man. On the hot seat. I don't know. I don't know. Hot seat might not be the right term, but I do think Luke Musgrave needs to show a lot coming out of the gate next year. I know he was hurt for much of this season. He was injured for a stretch of his rookie year as well. So it's really hard and probably pretty unfair to point to a lack of production. But I will say that kind of start of training camp this year and into the start of the season prior to, you know, his going down with the ankle injury, it's not like he was setting the world on fire. He looked pretty pedestrian in training camp. And now there's a lot that goes into that. Like, who knows as far as production goes when you're talking about football practices, because you never really know what's on offer as far as what they're being asked to do, what the call is, etc. I get all that. But man, it isn't like he was coming down with big catches each and every day or making plays every day like you would like to see, especially from a guy that athletic at that position. Entering his year three of his four-year deal, I think he's got something to prove. Let's put it that way. Again, I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat, but I would say that it's time to produce and it's time to step up. Let's put it that way. As far as who I think is going to break out next year, I mean, I think it's, you know, I know a lot of people out sitting outside will probably call this wishful thinking, but I think Marshawn Lloyd is ready to shock a lot of people. I think he is set to be a pretty exciting addition to the offense because, I mean, God knows we didn't see anything this year. But I think if he can get right, get healthy, and hit the ground running in camp next season, he's got a chance to surprise a lot of people. Of that, I have zero doubt. Cheeto, what's going on, man? Seriously, look at how marvelous Cheesehead TV is these days. When I started watching six-ish years ago, Corey's gloves didn't smell. Cheesehead TV should be damn proud. Cheeto, we love the glove smell around here. It's how we roll. Thanks, brother. Don Vito, how are you? Was gone yesterday, and I'm sure it was already stated, but the Lions? Ha, ha, ha! Don Vito, I'm glad you got that in there for posterity. We can save that forever on the internet just for you. I absolutely love it. Clay, how you doing, man? Is it justified to be upset with the Packers' draft philosophy? I love Gary, Jair, Love, etc., but do they focus too much on athletic profile? That's going to be an argument probably until the day I die. Justified. Hey, Clay, if it's what you feel, it's totally justified. It's totally legit. Your feelings are valid as a fan, right? Like, if you sense that, look, they keep drafting these guys where there's a lot of promise and there's a lot of, like, Lucas Van Ness is another guy you could probably throw in that mix of the dudes you just mentioned, right? Lots of athletic upside, and they're going to develop these really big-time athletes, etc., and then that never really occurs on the regular. I get it, man. I get the frustration. Now, that said, you know, it really helps you to play football to be a great athlete. And there's a reason that more often than not, the Packers will stay away from certain types and certain measurables. And more often than not always, but more often than not, that proves to be a wise philosophy. And it does land you a lot of really talented guys. So I think a lot of that probably gets magnified because of their kind of hit and miss nature in the first round, especially under Brian. But yeah, I don't, again, the frustrations saying, are you justified to be upset with their philosophy? I totally get it. You are more than justified. You are more than welcome to be upset about it. But here's the sad truth is it ain't changing. You know, this is how they operate. And we can talk about it and gnash our teeth and be upset and think they should take bigger swings on different types of guys in the draft in particular. That's not going to change their philosophy. This is who they are. And they've won a boatload of games operating this way. Now, you can make the argument that they need to maybe make more exceptions to try and get over the hump, etc. But they are not going to be making major wholesale changes to their drafting approach anytime soon. And that's your team. I would contend you should root for your team. That's me. I understand people fan differently. Your mileage may vary. Ryan, how are you, man? NFL equals WWE. It looks like the NFL wants KC in the Super Bowl. I don't think Grossi's scripted is way off base. I'm sick of Kansas City in the Super Bowl. All right, Ryan, let's be crystal clear here. The NFL is not scripted. However, I understand the frustrations. In fact, we have a short up clip from my chat yesterday regarding Mahomes and the ridiculous calls. But if you look at the numbers, if you actually look at the penalties being called on Kansas City comparative to any other NFL team, it's not outlandish. It's not insane. It's pretty much in line with what you would expect as far as the average number of penalties and the average types of penalties. But of course, because the Chiefs have been really good and have won the last couple Super Bowls and Mahomes is such a superstar, it does feel, and that's the key word, feel, underline, italicize, like they are being helped by the refs. And certainly Mahomes leaning into that shit doesn't help as far as that perception goes. But the NFL is not scripted. The NFL does not have it written that they're in the Super Bowl. Dissuade yourself of that notion. William, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Not Packers related, but if I'm coaching against Mahomes, I'm telling players, you're getting a 15-yard penalty anyway. Make them earn it. I saw some of these types of comments on Sunday during that Texans game, and I can't say I disagree. If you're going to get flagged anyway, take them down, man. Throw them in the dirt. Let his body bounce off the turf. Hell, man. And I'm not saying, like, don't do it way late. I'm not talking dirty. But I'm talking, if you're going to get the flag anyway, yeah, get your money's worth. 100%. Very much agree with that. John Simitovich, what dirt does Ron Torbert have on the NFL? Yes, Ron, getting another Super Bowl. Ron, I lose my voice at the drop of a hat, Torbert. and I call a billion flags each and every game, me and my crew, although the crews get jumbled up for the postseason. Yeah, I don't know, man. He's terrible. And this is his second Super Bowl. I mean, if that's not bad enough, we got to get Nepo Baby on Championship Sunday. Sean Hockley is working this Sunday, folks, so put on a pot of coffee because it's going to be a long game. He's going to be talking a lot. Mike Witt, how are you, man? I'm still really looking forward to seeing Lloyd in this offense with Jacobs. Could be our thunder and lightning. Random Packer, Jesse Clark. Ooh, Jesse Clark. I think that's a first. That is a great pull. And yes, as I mentioned, I think he's going to surprise some people. Jocelyn, that's a good question. Think Gutekunst will consider smaller, bendier edge? I want to say yes, but I doubt it. They like those big guys who can set the edge and play the run. That has just never been their MO, with no, regardless of scheme. So maybe, especially if it's someone, say, later in the draft. But yeah, I'd be surprised. Let's put it that way. Devin, that's a very good point. A Lucas Van Ness breakout can solve a lot on the line. And I do think that's a big component to why Rebrovich is no longer the coach, right, of the defensive line. They've got to unlock him. They 1,000,000,000% have to unlock even a fraction of the potential that they saw in him when they drafted him 13th overall. You've got to get way more production out of him. Hell, you got to get him on the field. He couldn't get on the field last year. All right, you're going to get me all upset. Mike, thanks again, man. As much as it pains me to say this, but towards the end of the year, Aaron Jones looked kind of old and slow and mini. I think Goode made the right choice. Oh, 100%. I mean, you saw there were a couple times towards the end of the season where he had to step off the field and had stretches where he's unavailable. And that's just the Aaron Jones experience, right? I mean, look, you love Aaron Jones. You love everything he did for the Packers. Absolute legendary member of the Green and Gold. But yeah, it was absolutely the smart right call by Goody to make that switch. Simitovich, this isn't even a question. Who is ruining their sport more, the Chiefs or the Dodgers? It is 1,000,000,000% the Dodgers. Come on. That's not even a question. The Chiefs are at least operating within a parameter that all the other teams are operating under. Like, the Dodgers are just like making a mockery of the idea that there's any semblance of competitiveness in Major League Baseball. Come on. I mean, I'll still watch the Brewers, but I'm under no illusions that they have a shot at a championship. Come on. Vin V, how are you, man? Championship teams have one thing in common, zero turnovers. You're not lying, man. Clean games. It's what we talked about leading up to the game in Philadelphia, and all came crashing down on the very first play of the game, right? Now, albeit probably should have been a penalty, but got to play a clean game. Got to be clean. Especially as you get into the playoffs and face the better teams, they are going to make you pay. And you saw, look at the Lions. I mean, they still had a chance, even with all those turnovers. But eventually that does become way too much to overcome when you're playing good football teams. No doubt. Ed, how are you, man? I thought the Ravens were a lock for this year's Super Bowl. I don't know crap about football. I mean, Buffalo played a hell of a game. And now you talk about, we were just talking about turnovers. You can get to, you know, the dance and make noise and look really good, but you turn the ball over, as the Ravens did in that first half. It's hard, man, especially on the road against a really good team like Buffalo. That is tough. A very tough way to live. Dale Norton, good afternoon. You did not include a locale today, but good afternoon from New York City. I hope you're well. Brett, I don't think you're crazy off base here. I do not think Rashid Walker is the answer long term at left tackle. I think this offseason they need to figure out if that is Morgan or someone else. I do think Rashid will be continuing to battle for a job. I don't think they move on from him. I don't think they should move on from him. I think he's a good player and he's young and on a very favorable contract. But I do think they're going to continue to throw competition at him. And I think Morgan is going to be part of that equation this summer. But I do not think for a second that that left tackle spot is going to be handed back to him without a fight. That is the Packer way, is what they always talk about, right? Best five, got to get that competition going. And I do think that will continue this training camp. All right, everybody, I have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.